Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. This is Robot Brian Lehrer here to introduce you to my next guest, Carmelo the Science Fellow.
Hi, everybody.
Yes, here I am again with Carmelo Piazza, a celebrity among brownstone Brooklyn parents and kids, as some of you know, for his parties and day camps that make science entertaining. He now has a book called Crazy for Science with Carmelo the Science Fellow. He also has a preschool. Welcome to WNYC, Carmelo Piazza.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Awesome.
So I started speaking through this homemade kazoo that we constructed according to your directions. It is wax paper affixed with a rubber band to the end of a cardboard tube.
Wow, well said.
Tell us how you use that.
Well, you know, the key is to show families and teachers that you do not need to have an extensive library of lab equipment to teach hands-on inquiry-based science. The beauty of it is it's utilizing ordinary household materials to illustrate amazing scientific concepts like that. When we're doing a whole unit of study on the physics of sound and you're trying to illustrate to kids that you need a vibration for sound to be made, that perfectly highlights that. You just take this cardboard. It could be cardstock paper. You roll it up into a cylinder, wax paper with the rubber band, and as the kids start to talk, the wax paper starts to vibrate, which then leads to other amazing discoveries. And you could start asking the kids questions like, what happens if you put something at the edge of that wax paper? Would it move? What happens if your cylinder was longer or shorter? And that's the beauty of the science. It just leads – one discovery leads to others, and that's the point.
Does it prove that if a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, it didn't make a sound?
Actually, it's interesting. I took an audiology class when I was in college, and the answer is no. Everybody says yes, right? If a tree would have fallen in a forest, is there a sound? Most people say yes, and the answer is no. Why? Because you need to have three things for sound to be made, right? You need to have a vibration. You need to have a source, which is our ear, somebody to receive the sound. Then you need to have the medium of what the sound is traveling through. So this kind of highlights one of the three. You must have a vibration for sound to be made.
So what if someone lost their Apple Watch in the forest and it had an electronic record of the vibrations indicating sound from the tree, and we saw that record later?
Yeah.
Is it sound?
Yeah, I'm an elementary school teacher.
We have one of your videos on our webpage showing how to make a kazoo like the one I just used. Listeners, it's at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show if you want to check it out and figure out how to use it at home. You're more into what questions than why questions, you were just telling me before we went on the air, which might perplex some people off the bat.
Yeah. Well, I read an article from the Boston Children's Museum, and they did this really nice piece on STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. And so many times teachers are nervous about science because if you ask the average adult, if you just stick with the theme of magnets and you say, you know, why does a magnet work? That's such a complex question, and it really doesn't lead to discovery making. But if you take magnets and you start asking what questions, you're asking kids like what is going to happen, which is initiating discoveries. It's problem making. So like what will a magnet stick to? Now this child is going to take this magnet, and it's going to lead to amazing discoveries, and you could go on a magnetic hunt and you're going to start sticking these magnets to different surfaces. It leads to discoveries as opposed to why questions, which kind of means it has to be like a definitive answer as opposed to open-ended questions where kids are allowed to make mistakes. Let's just go and discover.
Parents, any questions for Carmelo Piazza, Carmelo the Science Fellow, about what to pique your child's interest in science with? Or maybe you have some scientists listening who can share the story of what first piqued your interest in childhood, or anything else at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. His new book, Crazy for Science, with Carmelo the Science Fellow. What do you do at these birthday parties in Brooklyn?
My wife and my family think I'm still a little insane because now I have a school. I'm opening up another school, and I still do 3 to 6 birthday parties every weekend. It's my joy, and it just keeps me very grounded being a part of children.
Certain ages?
age 3 to age 10, pretty much preschool to grades 5. And what I love is to show family members how I can meet a group of 30 children who you've never met before. And it's not an easy task to get 30 kids to want to sit and work for an hour and 30 minutes. But I do that. And I do that by utilizing a sense of humor and inquiry-based learning. We do a lot of animal studies. I bring out blue-tongued skinks, bearded dragons, hognose snakes, where the kids are learning about predator and prey relationships. And then we go and we do – instead of like a magician party where you're kind of sitting and watching the magician work – I'm not the performer. The kids are actually doing the science. And then we just do 2 to 3 hands-on science experiments, from mixing different liquids and making slime that glows in the dark to making Alka-Seltzer rockets out of film canisters and Alka-Seltzer. You know, so just it's a lot of fun. It's very hands-on. And then these kids wind up leaving who've never met me, just literally uttering the word science is amazing as science is cool. And that's and this is what I'm doing at the parties.
John in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC with Carmelo. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Carmelo. How you doing?
Hi, John.
Hi. You know, Carmelo taught both of my kids at PS261, and I got to say, I wish you didn't have him on the show because we are very jealous. We want to keep him in Brooklyn. We don't want to share him with the world because he is fantastic. He teaches families as well as just the kids, and he's taught me. He's shown me. I don't even think you highlight exactly how funny he is. He's hilarious. He's always on, and he's built like a football player. It inspires these kids when they see this big guy who can be so jazzed about science. I love him for it.
Thank you so much, John.
You have fans.
And I miss 261. I really do.
And you were an elementary school science teacher, and now you're out there in the world as this personality, the science fellow. How did the transformation take place?
I was teaching for 17 years, from 1996 till about 2013, and it's a teacher's dream to have your own classroom, and then it became my dream to have my own school. I really wanted to take that vision of science and looking at every other subject matter through a scientific lens and incorporating reading and writing and math and art and movement all through the sciences, and that kind of made the creation of the Brooklyn Preschool of Science, which is an amazing educational facility which teaches ages 2, 3s, and 4s through an amazing STEM curriculum, you know, through cross-cutting concepts and just really hands-on inquiry-based learning. And this is and this is why I left public school education, to kind of just pursue my own path of and philosophy of what I feel like school and education should be like.
You know what half our callers want to talk about?
What?
Wouldn't mammals in the forest make a sound? Another one, having been born in a rainforest, I know what fruit falling from a tree sounds like. So I'm just noted.
Yeah, there you go.
Say, does a tree falling in the forest make sound? And you'll start a conversation.
Yeah.
Philippe in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Philippe.
Hey, Brian. Thank you. You always do such a wonderful job. I'm going to get you to run for mayor once, or governor or something.
If nominated,
I'm going to start that rumor
right
now.
I will not run if elected. I will not serve.
Well, first of all, I mean, my son was one of Carmelo's longtime students, not at 261, but at the summer camp, at the after-school program. My son Brandon, my wife April, and I always spread the word, and Carmelo, we're so happy to see that he's doing so wonderfully. We continue to support him. My son is 11 years old, and we were kind of like, oh, my God, he's sort of aging out at the point where Carmelo's programs would work out for him, even though we got him. This is Brandon Carmelo.
I know who Brandon
Liam
is. Yeah.
And all these other kids in Stone we used to bring to you in the early days.
I know.
Waiting at 4 o'clock in the morning to get them all signed up.
tell Brandon I miss him, you know.
Philippe, thank you for your call. Preschool, you're doing a preschool? Is it a formal de Blasio pre-K?
Right now, we're not part of the Universal Pre-K. I just opened up a location in Borough Hill, Brooklyn, about 2 years ago, and now I'm opening up a second location in Park Slope, which is twice the size. And what I want to do—
It's a private preschool. Science-themed preschools?
Exactly. You know, where if you kind of just think about fun thematic units, you know, like I'm very against traditional types of sciences where you're teaching different disciplines separately. The key is you really want to motivate kids to cross-contextual learning and cross-connecting concepts. So if you're going to be doing an activity on pumpkins, why not incorporate the math and counting the seeds and the sorting, and then plant these seeds in germination jars and the seeds start to germinate, and now you give the kids Unifix cubes and they're charting the length of this. This is how learning really needs to be. Just make connections through all subject matters, and this is what we're doing at the school.
Savitri in Scarsdale, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I'm interested in knowing how do you, it's less about for me. My son is super interested in science. He's in fourth grade. He finds every opportunity to learn as much as he possibly can. How do you keep them interested, specifically around fourth and fifth grade? And what are some of the things you would recommend that he focus on, as since our middle school is where science really gets a heavier focus?
Yep. I mean, I think it's important to, especially in the older grades, and testing, because there is a fourth grade and an eighth grade state science test, is just to stay true to the actual component of making your kids ask these questions. You know, a lot of times when they get into middle school, it becomes a lot of conceptual, teachers are talking, and it's less of the kids doing. And we just need to stay true with having the kids do investigative-based problem-solving experiments, incorporating technology and engineering and science so that they continue to love it through middle school and through the high school years. And then eventually we'll have future innovators of America and not be lagging behind other nations.
William in East Orange, you're on WNYC. Hi, William.
Yes, if a concept is not heard by the Department of Education, is it in fact a concept? Now, let me just get to the point. I really like the initial idea of using regular things one can find here and there to do interesting experiments. And I'm not putting this words into your mouth, but my district has had its budget cut for the most segregated city in the United States, and our kids don't have pencils in the science room, let alone other science materials. So yeah. I'm a little concerned that to articulate the idea that, well, and again, this is not your point, but I just want to raise the point. We need more money for our science budget, period.
And it's probably one of the – I'm guessing, but I would think it's one of the areas of the biggest inequality, because science does take equipment.
That's right. And look, the reality is, yes, there needs to be at least some money allocated for materials. But again, there are so many experiments. And the last caller, he's right. You do need to have some money. But the reality is, you know, we just made a kazoo out of paper. And you can continue to make experiments out of so many inexpensive materials, from bottles to taking 2-liter bottles and making bottle biology terrariums, to using straws and making straw flutes. Like, you know, you find a will, you find a way. Because if their money isn't there, we still have that obligation to try to teach these kids science, and they do deserve to have that type of education.
And the experiments in the book include engineering, like building paper bridges and boats, geology, even forensic science. But I'm guessing the kids love the biology, where according to this book, you show them how to make boogers and farts and play with fat and grow germs.
You see, you're not supposed to talk about farts, right? Because if a teacher does it, the kids, they almost stop. I encourage the talking of farts. But at the same time,
this is South Park science.
But the kids are going to be learning about air pressure. They're going to find out exactly what happens if there's too much pressure. And by mixing up baking soda with vinegar in a Ziploc bag, all of a sudden the bag bursts. But it's illustrating this amazing point that the gas in your body needs to find a way out, you know? And these kids just love it, and they think it's hysterical, you know, to take something like a gross bodily function and to teach them an amazing scientific concept.
Beavis and Butthead science. So we're just about out of time. I'm glad I have my little kazoo.
That's awesome.
Which my producer made from your instructions. But the Brian Lehrer robot will say, "You are a brave fellow for experimenting with noise and little children. Others might be tempted to demonstrate the science of soundproofing." Carmelo, the science fellow, Carmelo Piazza. His new book is Crazy for Science with Carmelo, the science fellow, and he'll be signing books and conducting experiments at the Old Stone House in Park Slope on Sunday, March 15th, from 12 to 2. Sunday from 12 to 2 at the Old Stone House in Park Slope, plus summer camp, plus pre-K. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.